Good evening. This is the WBAI Local Finance Committee meeting. And my name is R. Paul Martin. I'm the WBAI Local Station Board Treasurer and therefore the chair of this committee, and I chair the meeting. What we're going to do here is we appear to have a quorum, so what we're going to do is we're going to start things out the way we're required to, and I move that we adopt the following agenda as I type it in with one finger. Okay. One, call to order, 7 p.m. Two, approval of agenda, 20 minutes. Three, identify timekeeper, 2 minutes. Four, excuse absences, 5 minutes. 5 minutes approval, 5 minutes. Treasurer's report, 15 minutes. General manager's report on WBAI's finances, 60 minutes. Eight, set next meeting date, 5 minutes. Nine, new business, 10, adjourn no later than 9:30 p.m. Eastern. Okay, that motion is on the floor. Is there any debate on it, any amendments, any suggestions, anything at all on the agenda? And I don't hear any, so is there any objection to going to a vote on this? Hearing none, is there any objection to adopting the draft agenda? Hearing none, the draft agenda is adopted. Okay, the next thing we do is identify a timekeeper. Who wants to be the timekeeper? Jeffrey?
I will do it.
Okay.
Paul, I'll do it.
Yes, I got you. Okay, so Jeffrey Stern volunteers to be timekeeper. Is there any objection to Jeffrey Stern being the timekeeper for this meeting? Hearing none, Jeffrey Stern is now the timekeeper of this meeting. Next, we go to excused absences, and we've got at least one here. And let me paste that and put that in there. Okay, let me go check the email again. Nothing new. Okay. Alejandrina, or Allie, or she prefers to be called, Murphy has requested an excused absence. Yes. And so I'll move to excuse the absence of Allie Murphy.
Point of inquiry.
Yes.
You don't have a request for an excused absence from Carolyn McIntyre?
Nope.
All right. Well, that may be news to her. All right. Thanks.
Well, if you can get a hold of her, see if she can show up. Because at this point in time, it's too late for an excused absence. So it'd be good if somebody thinks they were going to get one would show up, and then it would be no problem. Okay, so the motion on the floor right now, tell you what, I'll check right now again. I just did it. No new messages, so I do not have anything, and there's nothing either to me or in the committee mailing list. So, yeah, we don't have that. So, motion on the floor to excuse the absence of Allie Murphy. Any debate on that motion? Is there any objection to the motion to excuse the absence of Allie Murphy? Hearing none. Allie Murphy's absence is excused. Next is minutes approval. And
Paul,
secretary...
Noel Jameson calling in.
Okay, let me mark that down.
Sorry for the interruption.
Okay, Noel Jameson is here.
James Sagerton is here as well.
Okay, we got people showing up now. Okay. Let's do the whole damn roll call. Before we do the minutes, let's do the whole damn roll call. Okay. We're going over this again. Okay, we're going to go over this again. And when I call your name, please answer up. This is the official roll call. Jack DePalma.
Here.
Yeah. Martin Flynn.
Here.
Bruce Grief. Noel Jameson.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Matt Mazza. Carolyn McIntyre. Allie Murphy. Serene Roberts. James Sagerton.
Here.
Jeffrey Stern.
Here.
Neil Voss.
Here.
Michael D.D. White. You were here a minute ago. Michael D.D. White.
I'm here.
M.K. Williams.
Here.
Okay. Is Joan DiLorenzo here?
Yes.
Okay. Joan DiLorenzo is here. This is your third meeting. So now you're here and you're a member. Okay.
Thank you.
And I'll mark that down. Okay. Oops. All right. So, I should probably do this other announcement right about now.
Did you?
Paul Mario here.
Okay, Mario Mastrand Mario.
Did you include Bertolt?
Yes, I did. Okay.
I sent you an email.
Okay. So, I should probably do the announcement that we always do, and I'll do it right now and say, while attendees at any WBAI meeting are not required to identify themselves, anyone who wants to become a member of the committee must sign the sign-in sheet at 3 consecutive committee meetings in order to become a member. It is the policy of the WBAI Local Station Board that for the Local Finance Committee, that the sole criterion for establishing attendance at meetings to become a member of the Local Finance Committee shall be the signing in on the official sign-in sheet for that meeting. For these electronic meetings, it is sufficient that the prospective member let the chair know their name and that they are present during the meeting. The PNB has passed a motion that, quote, only those affiliated for voting purposes with a particular local station and only that local station may serve as voting members of a committee of that local station board. So is there anybody on this call right now who would like to give me their name to start becoming a member? I have Mario. Anybody else?
Denise Joyce.
Okay. Somebody's backing up. Okay, so I have Denise Joyce. Anybody else want to give me their name to start becoming a member?
Well, I have a question of you. I sent you an email about it.
Okay. Mario, I'm asking this question right now. Please let people answer if they're going to answer. Is there anybody else who wants to give me their name right now to let us know that they are wanting to become a member of the committee? Hearing none, the next thing we have is minutes approval, and M.K. Williams, go ahead.
Okay, I sent the Monday night, I believe sent the minutes for January 17th, which have been corrected according to the corrections suggested at the meeting last month, and then I also sent the minutes for February 21st. So I would move to accept those two sets of minutes.
Okay. So those are the 2 minutes that we have to consider here. Is there any debate on approving the minutes? Hearing none. Is there any objection to approving the minutes of the January 17th and February 21st And if local finance committee meeting, what meeting am I in now? Is there any objection to the motion? Hearing none, passed without objection.
I'd like to abstain. Can you hear me?
Who's this?
This is Serena. I'd like to abstain.
So you want to vote. Okay, so you're here. I'll mark you as present, and you want to have a vote. So we'll go to do that, I suppose. Okay.
Or you could just note the records that I abstain.
No, that's not how we do it. You know that. Okay.
That's funny. That's how we do it on the National Finance Committee, but okay.
We've been doing this for how many years? You've been hearing it for how many years? All right, here we go. The motion is to approve the January 17th and February 21st minutes. Please answer up when you hear your name. Jack DePalma.
Yes to both.
Martin Flynn.
Yes to both.
Well, you don't have to say yes. It's just yes, no, or abstain. Bruce Grief. Noel Jameson.
Yes.
R. Paul Martin, yes. Matt Mazza. Carolyn McIntyre. Allie Murphy. Bertold Reimers.
Yes.
Serene Roberts.
Abstain.
James Sagerton.
Yes, and I don't know if you heard Bertold say yes.
No, I didn't hear Bertold. How did you vote?
I said yes.
Okay. Jeffrey Stern.
Yes.
Was that a yes or a no?
Yes.
Yes, that's a yes. Neil Voss.
Yes.
Michael D.D. White.
Yes.
M.K. Williams.
Yes.
Okay, and let me get a name picked out over here.
Do you want to ask Joan DiLorenzo since she's...
Yes, that's what I'm... Okay. I do not move at the speed of light, and I am moving over here to grab that name, put it into the thing I use to keep track, and thereby keep track. Okay. The motion is to pass those 2 minutes. Joan DiLorenzo, how do you vote?
Abstain.
Okay. 10-4, 0 against, 2 abstentions. So that motion passes. All right, 1 second. All right, the next thing we have is...
Mr. Chair,
Treasurer's report.
Can I be recognized? Yeah. I have a question, I guess it is.
Mario?
The meeting.
What is it,
yeah,
Mario?
The meeting. It's about my membership. Okay. I missed November's meeting.
Okay. Mario?
December, I attended.
Mario, why don't you bring that up during the Treasurer's report so we can get this thing going? I know where you're going with this, and I, you know. So,
We can do it later.
Okay. Bring it up during the treasurer's report if you want.
You got new business. Whatever. Okay.
Anyway, right. So here we are, and why don't we just get on with this? Treasurer's report's going to be a little bit short, I think, here, but a fast drink of water was necessary. Okay. Most of the February 27th, 2024 National Finance Committee meeting, which we call the NFC meeting, was taken up with consideration of the KPFA draft FY24 budget. Elections were held for chair and secretary of the NFC. Darlene Pagano, director from KPFA, was elected chair, and I was reelected secretary. The February 27th meeting was not streamed, because the person who does it wasn't available, but we were advised the meeting was being recorded and the recording would be posted on kpftx.org. A lot of the meeting was devoted to a discussion of the new chart of accounts that the executive director wants to implement. It's simpler, It's 84 items instead of more than 450. So we'll see how that works, I suppose. A motion was passed requiring that future NFC minutes be greatly trimmed down to the strict letter of Robert's Rules of Order, newly revised 12th edition, which means that they will be much smaller minutes and there won't be as much in there about what was said during the meeting. Pacifica's finances are not in good shape. The individual stations are either running deficits or are running very thin surpluses, the kind of surpluses that can disappear in a bad afternoon. And a lingering question is, will the people who shut down WBAI on October 7th, 2019, try it again? And let's see here. I just erased a part of that report. That was brilliant. 1 second. I'll get it back here. Sometimes these things are just driving me a little nuts. Okay. Where will that be? 1 second. Sorry, folks. Here we go.
Control Z is
all right. You don't know what I'm looking for. The February. The February 12th NFC meeting was rancorous at times. And it was, this is unusual for the NFC. But on February 12th, the NFC meeting was a bit rancorous. Some members repeatedly called the NFC a, quote, lame duck committee and opposed attempts to get anything done at the meeting. It took 48 minutes and 5 roll call votes to get through the agenda. And it's clear that some people who are in some way connected to those who tried to hijack Pacifica with 2 bylaws referenda a few years ago, and also with connections to people who have filed complaints with the FCC in an attempt to deny the renewal of WBAI's license to broadcast, are not going to subtly change. Some of those people are in court still trying to get their rejected bylaws amendments passed by a court. And there was an NFC meeting on February 20th, but it was not called by the NFC. I got a notice of an NFC meeting set for that date, and an investigation found that the KPFK treasurer, who was the recording secretary, I'm just reading today that maybe this person has quit that position, recording secretary of the PNB, had posted notice of the meeting to kpftx.org. She said the PNB chair had asked her to do it. I objected to a single person calling an NFC meeting when the missing dates, the meeting dates, had always been determined by the committee members in the past. But the meeting went on anyway. The executive director said that with regard to loans, the total in unpaid interest was about $544,000, which includes an 18% late penalty for the past due principal that Pacifica owes on the FJC loan. But she said that FJC was willing to waive that fee and bring it down to the 3% that it originally had been, so the late fees may be reduced substantially. Pacifica had about $104,000 in past due interest on the Economic Injury Disaster Loan, which we call EIDL. So we have $104,000 in past due interest on that. The executive director was working with the Small Business Administration to readjust the EIDL loan to reduce the liens on the Los Angeles property that's been sold. She said that the total payoff for the FJC loan was about $2.5 million, which means if we paid interest and the principal all at once, it's $2.5 million right now, and the EIDL is a little over $2 million. So the total loan payoff for both of those would be about $4.6 million. And Pacifica is, of course, just going to try to continue to pay the interest on those loans. And the executive director plans to look at Pacifica's programming and make it more consistent with what our community wants to hear rather than telling the community what they want to hear. She said there were plans regarding the training necessary to bring some of our programs up to date. And at that meeting, the executive director said that the close of escrow for the KPFK building would be about mid-March. Well, I think it's been extended again. WBAI had an offer of a donation of $25,000 in stock options from a listener late last year, but it came when the big transition of most stations' bank accounts to Bank of America was going on. The executive director said that the paperwork for setting up that account was starting all over again because he's a new secretary on the PNB, and all of the paperwork had to be done that was done in the past was null and void. So the new process had been started, and she estimated the signatures for that account would all be gotten by about the end of February. And I don't have any later information on that. We have to find out about this. And the as I already spoke about the February 27th meeting, and so let me get back to that. The next NFC meeting is scheduled to be held on Tuesday, March 26, 2024 at 8:30 p.m., and that's what's going on there, and that is the Treasurer's Report. Are there any questions on the Treasurer's Report? Hearing none.
R. Paul, real yes. quick, Stephanie's proposing to change the chart of accounts. So we're currently using what's called the Unified Chart of Accounts, and there are codes in there that are specific for CPB funding. Are those codes getting yanked, or are they staying put?
We didn't get to discussing that part. It's much stripped down. Again, it was 450 lines, 450 codes. Now it's 84 or so. And we didn't get to that. We had a discussion about it. And so the answer is I don't know yet. But I think that's going to be
a takeaway item. Okay, thanks.
Say again?
Can we treat that as a takeaway item for the next meeting to figure that out?
I will – you know what? I'm going to make the note right now. Let's see. This is okay, so I've just made a note of it here, and I'm making it so I will actually be able to see it at a later date. And there we go. Okay, I will I'll bring that up. Okay? All right. Anybody else have any questions or let's get a stack.
Mario to the stack, yeah.
All right, I heard somebody else before Mario. Who was that?
Serene.
Okay. Robert, Mario, anybody else?
James, please.
Sagerton. Anybody else want to be on the stack about the Treasurer's Report? Okay, hearing none. Serene Roberts, you have the floor.
Okay, thanks. So this isn't really a question. It's just a heads up. And you all might have seen this before because I posted it, but the ED is creating some what she calls work teams, people who are not necessarily on any board but have interest or expertise in certain things. It's a whole list of things. I'll send it out again tonight. I sent it out within the past 2 weeks. One of them includes people who are willing to work on addressing our CPD issues. So I just want to give a heads up. I'm getting on the train, so I'm also getting off the call now.
Okay, thank you for that.
Good night.
Okay, next is Mario. Mario,
yes.
Mastrandrea.
Okay. About the sale of the building, Mr. Chair, do you know if they checked the zoning of that area?
I believe they did.
To see what
I think that got mentioned at some point.
I tuned in. She came to the cab to speak, but I tuned in about 15, 20 minutes after she started. Because I had mentioned and brought this to everyone's attention about a year to 2 years ago. You have to check the zoning. So let's say the zoning was changed. As an example, you can build two or three floors up. The property would have been worth at least one or two times more, $4 to $5 million. But she has this deal that you're going to get 10 years of free rent. So that means something. That translates to money, or more value for, you know, if you want to put that together with the sale. But I just wondered what the zoning was, because that would be a prudent thing to have known, because you could have sold that to a developer or marketed it to a developer. Doesn't mean they're going to be knocking down your door, but that's usually what's a prudent way to do it. Second, you mentioned, she talked about programming, what our listeners want to hear and not what we want to tell, or they want to tell the listeners what to hear. At our CAB meeting, Carolyn Burden brought this up about doing a survey. So then it clicked with me also. So I mentioned to the executive director, why would you have to be reminded about that? People have been talking about that forever. And so here's my question, and I know you can't answer for her, but I'll bring it out to this committee. So how are you going to do programming that is not you telling them if you don't have any information from your public about what they want to tell you? So she's either mistaken. I don't want to say anything worse than that. Somebody needs to talk to her and say, that wasn't so good what you said. And if you actually are going to do that, how are you going to accomplish that? Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Next is James Sagerton.
Thank you, R. Paul. I have a question, and I'll make a comment on Mario's question about the zoning. My question for you is just, I think you misspoke when you said what the interest was on the FJC loan. I think you said it's going back to 3% at which it once was, but I believe that loan is prime plus 2. It's going from 18%, the penalty slash default interest rate is going to from 18% to back to prime plus 2.
Okay. What I reported is exactly what the executive director said. So that is that. Yes, I know it's that, but I report what she said. So she said 3%, and I don't know what. I don't know what the prime is today. How about that? But whatever it is, it's going to be lower than 18%. Because FJC is being actually nice to us. So there's that. I mean, how many places let you basically default on paying the interest and don't punish you horribly? So, yeah. All right. So anyway, she said 3%. I'm saying what she said. And if it's different, I guess maybe we'll find out pretty soon.
Hi, Paul.
So, James, are you done?
I had a second question. Or
go
comment.
Ahead.
And I wanted to say first that, I apologize for saying you misspoke. I know somebody misspoke. So apparently it was executive director. That's okay. Mario asked a question about the zoning and the building and, you know, maybe we could get more money, et cetera. I can't honestly say that I know that the zoning hasn't changed in that area, but I'm quite sure they would have checked in to that, especially the buyer would have checked into that. It's in an area of other, it's in Studio City, so it's in an area of other similarly situated kinds of buildings, office buildings and such. And just one note, part of the problem with selling that building at the time that we did is as part of the phenomena of the COVID pandemic events, the commercial market in LA and in other cities has gone to pieces. The value of commercial real estate in LA is just took a huge hit. So that's the reason for the low value on the building. And right now, I don't think it would have been a good time to find a builder or a developer to do what Mario was suggesting. In fact, we had several offers, or we had some nibbles, shall we say, some interest shown when the price was higher. And those people took a look at the building and, you know, the market was plunging and they walked away. So the offer that we we have is the best one we could do. That's all. Thank you, Paul.
Okay.
May I say something? This is Jack?
Jack. Go, okay, let's see. Jack DePalma is next. Anybody else want to be on a stack?
Denise on the stack.
Okay. Denise Joyce. Anybody else want to be on a stack?
Yeah.
Okay, Jack DePalma, go.
Yeah, just to verify that what James said was correct and correct and correct. I can't explain Mario's observations because they're not really, you know, based upon anything that's, you know, that I've heard the executive director say. Number one, the executive director said 2%, as was misspoken, I think, by the executive director. Maybe it's 2% over prime. And I believe prime right now is what, 3.5? I'm not sure. Well, anyhow, two, the building is in a difficult time to sell buildings. Commercial properties are empty. I guess I won't say other things that I know about commercial properties in other parts of the world, or the truth is that commercial properties are losing their value because people are not looking to develop them or build them up, like James said, exactly what James said. And I think number three is to recognize that maybe the people that, you know, don't hold you to the nickel and dime of the day in the loan schedule might be because we're going to have to give them money now. I think we're going to have money to give them. So therefore, they're kind of like putting it off until we, you know, close that deal and arrange that rearrangement there. Thank you, Paul.
Okay, next is Denise Joyce.
Yes. I wanted to ask about petty cash prompt availability within the station itself. I say that because I volunteer on occasion with sending out premiums, having the materials to make the premiums, things of that nature. And for what I understand from my past experience and my observation, at times we don't even have enough money to put on the stamp machine. Now, we generate that money through donations from our listeners, via, let's say, by check, or recent donations via phone call or mail-ins, that sort of thing. But yet, because of the account changes that have been made, we don't seem to be able to obtain the funds to move forward with just petty costs within the station itself, even materials to clean the bathroom. It is becoming quite unfortunate. What will happen, or has anybody discussed that with Pacifica? Because we definitely need accessibility to some of the monies that we are acquiring from our listeners in order to run the station. Has anybody discussed that or mentioned that?
I think that's probably mostly a general manager's question. Bertold, do you want to answer that?
I'll address that in my report.
Okay.
All right.
So Bertold will, he has a report coming up next, so he'll talk about that then. Okay?
All right.
Did I hear Jeffrey? Yes, I did. Jeffrey Stern says time. And so if nobody wants to make this last longer, we will go on to that very same general manager's report. And
I have one more question, Paul.
You have a question. Well, then you're going to have to make a motion. You're going to have to make a motion to extend the time on the item. You
for
want
two
to do
minutes.
That?
Yes, for 2 minutes, just to ask you that question or to clarify something.
Okay. So the motion is to extend the time for this item by 2 minutes. Is there any objection to that? Hearing none, it's passed without objection. Go ahead, Bertold.
Yeah, I want to clarify something. The $25,000 was a stock option donation. So, you know, it was not because we transferred from Chase to Bank of America. Even if we did not transfer, we could not process that. It's stock options account at the national office that, you know, that's only at the national office, that was supposed to be shut down by, you know, by Grace Aaron, whose name was on this thing at one point, that generated this problem. And this problem has been going on for at least 8 months now or more since that situation occurred. So, Paul, do you agree with that, or you know, was that what you meant, or did I misunderstand? Or
I've been talking about this so many times. I have said in the past, yeah, the deal is they have to create the new account. Did I say that? And that's why they needed signatures. And the since there's a new PNB and a new secretary, that she said the signatures are now null and void, and they had to start all over. I think I said that, didn't I?
Okay. I thought you meant just regular account. Okay. So.
No, it's a special account they have to make to receive the stock options. Okay, and time is being called again. And if there's no, if there's nothing else, we will be going on now to the general manager's report. Hearing no objection to that, let's go to that. Berthold, time for your report. Go ahead. You have the floor.
Hello?
Hi, Matt. Somebody's...
Okay.
Oh, Matt is that Matt Mazza?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Berthold, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, nothing has changed since my last report. I have less access to information. So, you know, you need to get this report from the national office. Just overall, more or less the same report I made to the four directors of Pacifica. I would say that the finances, profit and loss fiscal year 2023, 2022, and 2021 are the last thing that I really have. I've not really been keeping track accurately and in detail of all other items. C88 is being bought by Right to the City. And they apparently have a lot more money than that other bookstore that we thought had a lot of money. They lost a grant, and then they may even be moving out of the building. So Right to the City, which is a progressive organization defending tenants' rights, is buying the building. They did their due diligence. There was only one problem. They looked at how irregularly with the owner. And then they were like, well, I don't know what the deal is this. And then, you know, it's like the negotiations are, well, you know, maybe you can have more of their space. We can have the general manager space and the program director space in there. And then they can say less. So that that way they'll be able to afford it on a more regular basis. We have been, you know, as of fiscal year 2023, only thing I can tell you is 2024. In October, we raised $58,000. In November, we raised $63,064. In December, we raised $61,000. In January, we raised $40,000. You know, I have to realize that we have been playing less and less of Gary Noll and Kristen Blasdale. Actually, we haven't been paying any Darren Hall at all following the FCC situation. And then in December, in February, it's $55,000. You know, my goal was always to raise $100,000 or at least $75,000. So you can see the shortage. And so we definitely are not generating enough money to pay for the tower rent, for the rent, and for the call center. So every month that goes by, these expenses add up. You know, I mean, we have our $18,000 BI buddy. Good news is the BI buddy went from $18,500 about. It's now $21,500 plus or minus for the past 2 months. So that was the only thing that we had promised in the budget that we are actually fulfilling right now. I mean, we did, you know, quite a few cuts, and, you know, we got rid of the morning show hosts as paid consultants, unless they bring in enough money to generate, to get paid, and then to also generate money for BAI, which the Monday morning show is doing, plentifully. And for me, that is about it. We have tried our best to transition to Bank of America and to make it as smoothly as possible. But once in a while, when I go into Amazon.com, for example, to order supplies or premiums, I put an order and they would reject it. And so I've been trying to work with them. We put the Bank of America information, and it doesn't really go smoothly. Sometimes the payments are rejected or returned. The lease of the copy machine copier wasn't being paid because even though we had transitioned, I did my best to transition to Bank of America. You know, a debit card works better. You know, and then so we did over like 3 months. I went in online and I did a one-time payment. It went through. 3 days later, I got an email that this was returned. The same thing for stamps.com. It's not that we don't have any money at all. I mean, we don't have any money, but we usually used to put a few $1,000 into stamps.com. It's been the saga trying to get them to accept transitioning to ACH, Bank of America, instead of a debit card. I told the national office that they wanted a voided check, or they would not deal with us. So after going through 3 months of being told that doesn't exist anymore, but apparently, yes, companies still want voided checks. Since we had this Bank of America from like 10 years ago when they initially started this, I went into my files and looked for a couple of weeks until I found a voided check that I loaded and sent to stamps.com. So this is the third time I'm calling them to follow up. They said, yes, this has been filed, and then it should be the ACH, Bank of America, should be available anytime soon. They will call me, and, of course, they didn't call me yet. So I have to call and follow for the third time. So Adobe Editor, which is one of the software that my webmaster uses, that Linda uses to edit shows. You see a lot of shows, old shows edited with the 212 and then with tidbits of news put into them. Most of them done by Linda. She said she received a notice that, you know, that her Adobe is going to expire. It's the same thing for the Constant Contact. I think we figured out how to get the Constant Contact to accept ACH payment. But, you know, you never know until a few months later you get a denial or, you know, an email saying that this payment was rejected or returned, and find out what it is that is being accepted. I don't know the experience of the other stations. You know, like I was the only one who has this kind of situation with our vendors. I doubt it, because Adobe, Amazon, stamps.com, these are things, companies that everybody uses, I haven't had access to Bank of America for a couple of weeks now, because apparently they have a strict way of doing things. You have to upgrade your password every 2 months or something like that, and I don't think I did that. But I had done face recognition. I uploaded the face recognition software, so I used to just log in by my face recognition software. So when I had an issue with my password, I did the face recognition software, and they told me that they could not use the face recognition because I have a problem with my password. How can that be so stupid? I thought the face recognition was the backup, and then the safe way of being able to log in if there's a problem with the password. So I don't like Bank of America. We have some money that we need to deposit into the Bank of America. I usually scan them with my phone and deposit them on checks that came in. We haven't done that in, like, I don't know, 3 weeks now. And Matt Mazza, you can step in and mention that for 2 minutes in my report. Matt, please go ahead and, because Matt's been calling me and saying we have checks, we have money. We have like a $1,500 check from a car, from the car donation company, and we haven't been able to deposit yet. I mean, that money is not lost, but, you know, like, I did contact the business manager or interim CFO, Pacifica, and she was really prompt in doing whatever she did to have Bank of America send me a link to log in. I tried to go in, and then somehow at one point, you know, it did not work. I put in a new password, and then when I went in, it did not accept it. It's asking me for my favorite person in history, and then the name of my first pet. I don't know why. Who knows what the heck did I put 10 years ago? So these are some of the things you probably hearing from the frustration of Denise Joyce that was asking you those questions. But I think she's asking you as treasurer and the board members, National Serene, how are we going to address that? Because there seems to be a definitive no debit card. And I've tried, I'm trying my best to abide by that and to get everything to ACH. But, you know, it's a pain in the ass. You know,
what does ACH stand for?
Automatic checking something. ACH is basically being able to pay online by wire or direct payment from your bank into a company. Like, in other words, I'm Amazon.com, I tell them, okay, this is what I'm buying, and take it from the bank account, directly from the bank account. That's what ACH is.
Okay, ACH is automated clearinghouse.
Clearinghouse.
Electronic funds transfer.
All right, Berthold, please continue.
I'm basically done. You know, I'm sorry, I'm vague about the finances, but, you know, I know they're not good, but the specific numbers, as you know, at the national level, the National Finance Committee rated me for using QuickBooks and all that stuff. So now we have to rely on them to produce those reports. I think that my report was short. We can have time to have more questions. I'm ready for questions.
Okay, let's. All right. So you're saying that.
Oh, sorry. One more thing. I'm sorry.
Let us know when you're done, Berthold.
Yeah. Well, quickly. PayPal is the only place where we have access to money that, you know, I hate PayPal, but people use PayPal. You cannot make them not use PayPal. About $2,000-$4,000 come through PayPal. And then that's what sometimes I use to process a lot of premiums. And that's not good because, you know, it's not connected. I'm going to have to run a report to give it to the national office. I have not had the opportunity. I haven't been able to attach Bank of America to PayPal. When I took out Chase, I tried to attach Bank of America to PayPal so I could transfer all the money in there. It asked me for, I don't know, credentials and debit cards and stuff like that, and so I couldn't do it.
Are you done, Bertel?
Oh, yes, I'm done. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yes, I'm done.
All right.
I went on mute.
Yeah, okay. All right, so a couple of things here. Okay, so you're saying buddies are now raising $21,500 a month? Bertel? Bertel, I'm asking, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm sorry. I keep going on mute to let you guys talk and then forget to go off mute. Yes.
Okay. So you're saying buddies are at $21,500 a month now?
Yes.
Okay. Another thing here is, all right, so you're saying that the issues with trying to, you know, pay petty cash stuff is really something with the way, with not being able to get stuff from Bank of America. Now, the way it's been explained to us in the past, of course, what I'm saying now is stuff that the executive director told the NFC before the current NFC got on there. And I don't know, things may change. I don't know what's happening there. The way it was supposed to work was you would scan in invoices, checks. Basically, you're scanning in all of the stuff you get, and you ship it to the national office. And if you have an invoice that needs to be paid, they get it and they pay it. You have to explain it, of course. So are you saying that that is not actually working at this point in time?
All right. So let me clarify. Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Yeah. And Amazon is not an invoice you can send to the national office for payment. You know, Amazon is, you know, they have your account, and then you go online, you pay for the stuff, and then, you know, they send it to you. So Amazon, I go on, and I buy 1,000 DVDs, 1,000 CDs, 500 dual layers of cases for the CDs and DVDs, and for the printer so that we can print the labels. And, you know, you just go in, and then you say pay, and if you choose ACH, Bank of America, and then it sends you an email and says, here's the receipt. You know, here's the invoice, here's the receipt. And then, you know, I forward it to the national office, but it already went through. And then so, but Amazon, you know, so like two, three years later sends me an email saying, this was denied or returned, you know, things like that.
Denied or returned by Bank of America?
I don't think they were clear. They just kind of I will forward you the correspondence, you know, like this was rejected or something like that. It's the same thing for the lease of equipment, the copy machine, you know, like they call me, blah blah blah. I'm like, well, this shouldn't be a problem because, you know, I went in and changed, you know, this one seems I have been easy to change into ACH payment, you know. And all of these things are, you know, at the national office, more or less. I mean, I had a spreadsheet that I had all these accounts and all these items, and also the amount plus or minus, the website, the login and the password so the national office can actually go in there also, you know. Spectrum, Time Warner, that kind of stuff. You just can log in. The consultant is working fine because the consultant, you know, the consultant were told that they're not going to get paid if they don't fill out the ACH form and their W-9 tax form and send it to the national office. And then, besides that, they have to send their invoice to the national office and they don't get paid on the regular every other day like Bertel used to do, about 2 hours after they send the bill. They are scheduled. So they have gotten their act together, most of the consultants, except for one, and they're getting paid. You know, so the national office is collaborating. There are vendors, you know, like the Christian Blasdale vendors, some of them, the one with the 7-day reset for consultation. You know, I sent her the form. She filled them out, and she sent the form back to accounting@specifica.org and copied me on it with the bill of $315 for 21 consultations. So we're going through that. I Shaga Mushroom. I paid to PayPal because there were a few outstanding items. I wanted to get them out of the list so that we could pitch it again because we were running out of things to pitch. So we did that, and I told them. I tell them as I get to them, I send them the form to fill out and to send to the national office. That's office more or less is collaborating. You know, it's just that, sometimes the Bank of America, like, for example, you know, Amazon, I paid a few things to Bank of America. They went through, and then some of them didn't go through. I don't know if it was because it's a $2,000 charge or whatever. So that's basically what's going on. There's collaboration. There's not, you know, hostility from the national office. It's just that, this is not going smoothly. I mean, and I just don't like Bank of America. I think they. And also the thing about the debit card, you know, life is not easy with part of the debit card. You know, a lot of companies do not deal with bank accounts. They deal with debit card or credit card, which is ridiculous, but that's how they function.
Okay. First of all, Bertold, for everybody else who's listening. When they ask you those extra questions that goes along with a password, the first thing you do is you don't tell them the truth. They ask you what your first pet's name was. You make something up. Because if you give all those questions, that's going to be scraped, and you're giving them information about you, and that could hurt you in the end. And what you do besides that is you write all of this down. So if you're asked for the password and stuff, you can look it up, and then when they ask you what was your third grade teacher's name, you have it written down, and you can answer it. So that's one thing. But
yeah,
the other stuff is.
I
all right, no.
Years.
Let's just go on. That's just a fast hint, and we'll leave that there. You're saying you're having all of these troubles, and what does the national office say about this? Because you must be bringing this up to them and saying, look, I'm trying to pay these bills and they're getting rejected. Is it Bank of America or something else? What's going on? What does the national office say?
For example, for the consultant who is
You're breaking up, Bertold. You're breaking up a bit there.
For example, for the consultant who's not getting paid, you know, the consultant said, if you email, you know, the national office, Stephanie, and then the whole national office got involved and they didn't receive the forms or the bills. And I know that consultant doesn't like to do bills. You know, I used to have to wash my chops, only send to the radio and create the bills for these people and send it to them and say, these are the days you should bill us. Send us a bill. Take this bill, put your name, do something, and send it back to me so that I can have you sending me a bill. You know, so national office say they're not gonna do this babysitting thing. So you know, the consultant should put the bill together and send them in, you know, on a regular basis. You know, like you should get out. I shouldn't go out of my way to bust my chops. I mean, sometimes I'll say, you know, I'm not going to do this anymore. And then 2-3 months goes by, and then it becomes a nightmare because you have to go through 2-3 months of, data to research to find out what bills goes to what month and to what 15 days to help them recreate it. So, you know. But the national office, they're not going to go to this babysitting of consultants or producers. You know, like they have to send their bills on a regular basis. As far as the other vendors, you know, it as it comes. You know, Linda just told me 2 days ago that she doesn't, Adobe has the problem, you know. But it seems to me that there seems to be some items on my responsibility to get them to ACH with the company, which doesn't work. You know, that's why I feel that it should be a debit card. So the problem is the ACH, this ACH versus the debit card. You know, I've tried my best to get most of them through. I just ordered only 1,000 DVDs to Amazon, and I'm waiting to see if I'm going to get rejection, you know, because it's a little less money instead of ordering 1,000, $2,000 worth of stuff. So I'm waiting. I ordered it like 2 days ago, and it says it went through. So I'm waiting to see if I'm going to get a rejection today or tomorrow, you know, and that's how it works. That's how I'm working.
All right. Now, you reported all of these problems to the national business manager, right?
I reported them. I sent texts. I sent email. You know, I try not to be too, too needy because they, you know.
Bertold,
because, you know,
if you're having trouble running the business because the bank and stuff is not working right for you, you don't worry about, oh, you're bothering the national office. They're going to be more bothered when, you know, things don't work right because you couldn't pay petty bills. Bother them about this and insist on, you know, some sort of resolution, because this is nuts. You've been talking about this since we moved over to BOA, and, you know, You can't just let it go. You can't just say, I want to be nice to the national office and let these things go. So really you need to do that. But, yeah, the national office, what does it say when you say things like, you know, we have these bills, they can't get paid, I'm getting rejected? What does the national office tell you when you tell them that?
But basically, the thing about voided checks doesn't make any sense, and that everybody takes ACH. You don't need a debit card, you know? And so I just go back and try to work these things again and again and again. That's all.
So the national office is telling you that the policies of the vendors and the banking institutions and the clearinghouse don't make sense, and that's where it is? I mean, it sounds to me like there might be a bit of a problem at the national office. I mean, if you have to pay certain things in certain stupid ways, unless you find another vendor who can do it, you know, in some other way that works, you've got to adjust stuff. Pacifica has to adjust stuff so that the bills can be paid.
One or two of these vendors, we can do probably, they can send a bill, and then we can, national office can send them a wire or whatever. But some other vendors, you know, it's online. You know, it's automatic, whatever that person said before. And then they don't do it.
The automatic clearinghouse, yes.
Yeah, they don't do that well. They prefer debit card, or sometimes they only want debit card. So I'm struggling. That's all.
Yes, that's that part of the problem. The other part of the problem is, apparently there's an issue with the national office not dealing with the problem you're having, and you know it shouldn't be going on this long. And I hope that you will be able to impress upon the national office the fact that telling you it shouldn't work that way isn't going to get the bills paid. So you should do that. Also, you mentioned before you don't know what the other stations are doing. Isn't there a weekly meeting of the general managers and the executive director? And aren't these issues discussed at that meeting?
There's a monthly meeting. They're not discussed. We talk about general things. We don't talk about specific financial anything. I mean, we talk about the fact that we are broken and we need to raise money. How do we raise money? How do how do we come up with ideas to raise more money? What's up with programming? Who's doing what in Texas? Since to this, since to this, in Rosella. But we don't have to go over specific financials of positions.
Sounds like you need to. Look, I would suggest you have some questions here about some of this stuff. Bring that up at these things and see if the other general managers are also having similar problems that you're having. And, it could be a Pacifica-wide thing, or maybe somebody at another station solved the problem, whatever problem, completely, and they could tell you, here's how we do it, and you could do it and fix it. All right. We should get a stack and see what else everybody has to say. All right? Are we done, Berthold?
One small question.
Hold on. Everybody, please hold on. Berthold, we're done, right?
Well, my understanding is there are other stations that have not even fully going into Bank of America.
I know.
A month ago. You're talking about other people who have the same problem that I have. People have a lot more problems than I have. People don't even know how to get into the Bank of America thing. So,
There are two stations that, for different reasons, are not in Bank of America, but there are a couple of other stations that are. So, see if you bring it up, maybe those two stations will have something to say. All right. And now I'm going to take a stack. Who wants to have a question or whatever for Bertolt? I say have De Palma. Who else?
James.
Neil.
Okay. Neil Voss, James Sagerton. Anybody else?
Matt.
Mastin Gray.
Okay. Matt. That's Jim Dingman, I heard.
That's right.
Okay, Dingman. Anybody else for Sack? I have De Palma, Jack De Palma, Neil Voss, James Sagerton, Jim Dingman. Anybody else?
Matt.
You got
Matt
Musk. Matt Sangria.
Who was the last person?
Where's Matt Sangria? I was like three people ago.
I couldn't catch the name. What is that?
Mario Mastandrea.
Mario. Okay, Mario. Okay.
Well, you're the one who says my last name all over the place.
That's six people, and why don't we go with that stack for starting right now. Jack De Palma, you have the floor.
Thank you, Paul. Just a short question to Bertolt about what you were just asking, Paul. Bertolt, when you have a check in your hand that comes in the mail, is it difficult to just walk it over to the bank? Do you have to go through some type of clearinghouse? That is it working for us? Is that what you were also saying at the first?
Say that again, Jack. I couldn't hear what you were saying.
Yeah, I thought when you first started your report, you said that when we get checks, physical checks or money orders, we can't process that. For some reason, they don't go in through your phone or through the photograph into the Bank of America accounts. Is that true? Can we straighten that out somehow?
Yeah, I have to follow up and then get another help from Marticia sending me another link and see how I deal with Bank of America and see how they can give me access. The key questions they're asking me, that was 10 years ago. When Pacifica initially set up WBI's Bank of America account. I don't remember where I put this password. And if I even put them on my computer at work, I've had three new computers since then. Since we left 120 Wall Street and so on. So the key thing. Usually they ask you a bunch of key thing, and then you can. If two or three do not work, they can ask you more. The Bank of America kept on asking me only two key questions. What's my favorite person in life? And then what's my first pet's name? And you know, somehow I got those wrong. I don't know how I got them wrong. I know exactly what those two people are. But it's not working. So it's not the national office's fault. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. I should have reset my password. Like, this every 2 months thing is a pain in the neck. You know, like, I didn't realize that. So that's what's going on. When the national office sent me the link, I went in, and then I did set up my password, and then it says, okay, done, and I went in Bank of America to try to log in with that new password, and it did not work. So that's what's happening. You know, if I had that, it would be easy to just go in and, you know, take a picture of the front and the back of the check and then deposit them, as I have been doing.
Okay, I'll just say we have discussed numbers of times over the years backing up everything on the computer, but here we go. Neil Voss, you have the floor.
Hi, Bertel. Yeah, I tried to get on the WBAI webpage today, Bertel, and Google blocked me. They said that the WBAI website is not secure, and that hackers are trying to steal people's information. Now, is that for everybody, or was this just a message for my computer?
I'm checking right now.
You know, the hacker show was on tonight.
Yeah, I'm on. I'm on right now. I can see the website, so I don't know.
So Google didn't block you.
No, I just went in right now. WBI.org.
Yeah. All right. Well, maybe Google's just blocking me then. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. The next person is James Sagerton.
Thank you, Paul. I'll just add to the last conversation. I just tried it, too, and I got right in, and I was on it several times today. So I think it might be individual to you, Neil.
Okay.
Got a couple of questions here. I want to preface it with a comment. I don't know whether this is becoming a policy or where we're going in terms of what I'm about to say, but right now, Pacifica has interim general managers at 3 of the 5 stations. We have volunteer interim general managers at 2 of the 5 stations. At 1 of the 5 stations, we have a former assistant to the general manager who is now acting as the general manager and interim. At another station, we have a longtime general manager who is retiring. And it's not clear that we're going to get a full-time paid regular general manager to replace that general manager at this 4th station, which when and if that happens, it will leave WBAI with the only regular general manager as a regular permanent employee who's not an interim and not a volunteer. So I'm not suggesting that that's part of why treating the general office with kid gloves might be in order. I'm just saying that's a general trend that we should keep in mind as we talk about how to proceed. The general office has the national office is not making a lot of these things easy. And then the other question I had was, Bertel, do you think that it would be beneficial, or perhaps not, if we passed a motion in this body recommending to the LSB that the LSB pass a resolution recommending to the PNB that debit cards, at least one debit card, be provided to each station to serve the purpose of petty cash and, you know, immediate needs that come up sometimes.
Well, the truth is I don't need a credit card. They can keep that credit card at the national office.
I actually said debit card. I actually said debit card, but yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Debit card, yeah. I don't need it. I'm glad I don't need it because before my name was in there, I had to give my Social Security and all of that stuff, you know, so I was liable if something happened. I'm fine with this, but they can have a debit card at the national office. I don't need to know that number either. I don't care. There can be only one person custodian of that debit card at the national office, which means that they would have to go in themselves and enter that information into those systems so that those things can be facilitated. And I don't have to ever know the debit card. If that is if the security issue is a concern. And then you see the debit card for each account. So that these accounts could, you know, when you do something to that, you know, whatever station, you know which station is doing what, you know. But it should be done just by the. It should be done by the national office. The national office should have 5 debit cards, one for each station. Yeah.
Okay. Jen, does that answer your question?
I mean, I have a quick follow-up.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So, yes, I should have remembered that we talked about that, Berthold. So perhaps a motion to that effect that the national office should have such a debit card. And I presume that you're suggesting that you would have the number so you could use it when you needed it. Or I do know that at the national office, they don't really want to have to get involved. You know, if we need toilet paper at 388, they don't want to have to get on the phone and order the toilet paper with the debit card and do that. They would rather have you do it, but they haven't made a way for you to do it, especially when something is needed right away.
All they have to do is go in the account and set up the debit card once. You don't see the debit card, by the way. I mean, because it's hidden, and then it's only you see the first number and the last 4 numbers. So if the person was the custodian of that account, the national office sets it up, you know, it's set up. So I can just go in and just make the purchase, and I don't have to they don't have to be involved in the gory detail, but they have to be involved in the setting up of all these vendors' accounts so that we can, so that we can get this thing going.
One more comment, Arbol, please.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I know that the policy behind consolidating the bank accounts and consolidating and eliminating the debit cards arose not from things of WBAI, but it arose from having a multiplicity of credit cards and debit cards that were floating around Pacifica. I remember once when we had to do we were in the middle of an audit and they were trying to do the final checks on our bank accounts. They were trying to get the signatories on those accounts to give them a final update, and they couldn't find, like, on 19 different accounts there were 23 signatures, and they couldn't get any of them to respond so that they could do the final checks for the audit. So there's miscellaneous things like people using the credit card for something and then forgetting to pay it back for a personal item or for a meal or whatever. So there were good reasons for them to consolidate the bank accounts and to eliminate all the debit and credit cards. But I guess, and I know that they're trying to stick to that policy. They're trying to make that policy stick. But how, I don't know. So would you suggest that we have a resolution promoting the system that you suggested, which is that the national office set up these things and provide the number to the stations to really almost act as a petty cash box?
I would take the fifth on that. I'll be honest with you guys. You know, you guys figured out why I'm trying to be very careful. All I can have to say is I will answer you by this. When we started the transition, and I think I've given this to you guys before, we have four Times Square as a vendor, $17,000 a month, monthly. That bill we receive, we all receive it, and then we had four Times Square sent their ACH form to WBI and Pacifica, so that's all taken care of. There's ACD, which is also the same thing, that bill goes to the national office and to BAI. There's Adobe, which is $70.74 a month. That was set up as AutoPay. I did set it up. I have yes here. That means it was set up for ACH, Bank of America. It seems not to be working. There's Allegiance, which is $252. That's a monthly bill. They send a bill, and then it's paid by the national office. And then there's Amazon. Amazon is there's Amazon Web Service, which is $350 a month. That's hold all our web systems. And then there's Amazon, where we buy premium. It's not set up auto pay. It goes up and down. So this is a list I'm going through that I've given to the national office with passwords, and I'll send that to you without the passwords. Then there's Avid Technology, which was a podcast thing. We've gotten rid of it. Yeah. We've gotten rid of it. There is BMI. Those bills, we all receive them, the national office. That's the BMI, something music rights. There's Bob Hanley. There's Chris Lapilusa. Christian Blasdell, those people, they fill out their ACH form and then they send their bill to the national office. Christian Blasdell hasn't been involved in like 3 months now, 4 months, so that's not even an issue. There's a Constant Contact. That's a newsletter. That's $335 a month, and I think we set that up automatically with Bank of America. These are all things that we have to go from debit card to ACH. A lot of these have been successful, some of them not. There's a Dropbox that files, transfer from one place to another, automatically set up, $54 a month. There is the guy who used to clean up the place at $450 a month, so he's been fired, laid off. So there's Fusion Telephone Hub. That's the telephone system that manages our telephone system so that we pay a lot less fees to Verizon. In other words, a third party. We use a third party to manage our phone system instead of using Verizon, because Verizon would cost us like 10 times more. All right. That's Fusion. I think I finally set that up. Hold on a second. I'm going. There's Google Storage, where we store files, so that Google Storage costs us $3 a month. There is Kazaa Glow Consultant. There's Leaf, LEAF. That's the leasing machine company. That was set up. I went in like 2 days ago, and I did reset up the Bank of America ACH. I paid them, and then it went through, and then that was when it was returned, and that was set up. Manhattan Mini Storage. Yeah,
first of all, are you saying? First of all, are you saying that? First of all, are you saying that you've had some trouble setting some of these things up? Some of them have clarified themselves. Some of them weren't a problem to begin with. Some of them were a problem, but what I was, I see that you've got a long list of things there that have been pretty successful, but what I was trying to get at is you seem to be indicating that there were some things where it wasn't working so well, where you didn't have canceled check to use, or you had one difficulty or another setting up with Amazon when you wanted to buy cases and CDs or DVDs. You couldn't get them because I don't know whether it took too long or because Amazon didn't have such a system. You had mentioned a couple of times when you needed something right away and you couldn't get it because you didn't have a debit card. So you're saying now, you know, we don't need an actual debit card. We could just have a number and the national office could hold it and we could just use the number. Are you saying now that you don't really need that either? I mean, I'm trying to figure out what we could do to help you by passing a motion or, you know, making a suggestion upstairs.
Well, what I'm saying is I don't need a credit card, physical or the number. The national office can have it. They can log in into these accounts and set those things up.
Right. You said that. What do you, Bertha, you said that. What do you need?
Yeah. That's what I need. They just need to go in and set up a debit card and then have it and then go into those accounts and set them up so that we can, when we go in there to make an order, it can go through.
You don't think it's timely for us to make such a resolution now, a motion here? You want to sleep on it. You want to sleep on it. That's okay. Thank you, Abdul.
I'm going to send an email to the national office and copy the four directors and our poll, and I'm going to break this down. And I'm going to say this is what I'm experiencing, and I'm going to break down every single vendor that have a problem or for which there's an issue. And, you know, so I was trying to kind of solve that, you know, and not have to deal with this, but, you know, I guess I'm going to have to do it. Try to be as non-confrontational as possible, as non-annoying as possible. The problem is also, it's asking for other stations, do they have the same problem? You know, I hate to brag, but, you know, I was on top of the finances and every detail of WBI finances, and I don't think any other general managers or station managers, you know, were even near or close to that, you know? So what problems that I perceive or see, you know, may not be problems that people even know exist or ever, you know, or things that they ever did, you know? So that's that.
Okay. I think we need to move along now with the stack. Jim Dingman is next.
Can you guys hear me?
We hear you now.
Okay. All right. Maybe stating an obvious question, and I regret I missed the beginning of your discussion, although I have, of course, heard these discussions many times. Are they individuating the amount of money each station is making and then using that separately to sort of pay bills right now? In other words, if you've only made like $20,000 in a month, they're sort of prioritizing, okay, we pay this bill, we pay the wages, we pay the rent, we pay the tower rental, and then everything else goes below that. I mean, because what you're talking about is if we're still operating with an operational deficit, these would be our expenses of, you know, what is it, $20,000, $30,000 a month, correct me what the actual then how are they prioritizing paying bills? I mean, it sounds like they're just saying you got X amount of money, and that's what you got to play with, as opposed to pulling other sources within the foundation, since we know that there's this tremendous resistance at this point to do that. I'm just curious what your assessment of that is.
Okay, my assessment is, and this is not because of trying to be careful or anything else, my assessment from the very beginning, you know, suspicion and, you know, worried and all that stuff. My assessment is they do not do that. You know, they try to, Markeisha is trying to balance the bills and pay the bills as they try, especially the small ones, and trying to figure out how to deal with the big bills. I think they are doing the best job they can to try to pay the bills. I know what that's like, and they were making a little less money. It's impossible. you know, and I have never felt that they were like, you know, yet, as of yet, doing anything of that sort to try to push back on this and do this and do that. Well, that's it, you know, I am not really fully involved and engaged in this anymore. And I'm kind of happy because, you know, it's one thing to think about, well, we owe $140,000 for Times Square. You know, and then the national office is aware of it, and then they're trying to figure out how to deal with Four Times Square. It's another thing for me to wake up every morning and to look at those bills, and every day, all day long and all night, looking at them and trying to figure this out. That is off my chest. So I love that part. You know, it's a lot of stress. So I think they have a lot of stress. I think doing the best they can with the little money they have, juggling money from one station to another, from the national office, this and that, accounts that are closing that are important. I mean, you don't share those with me, but I know that's what they're doing. I mean, I can see that nothing is being cut. You know, they're paying the consultant. It's just they have an impossible job, you know. But that's not. The intent is not what here. Here is the Bank of America, don't like them, and the payment methods sometimes do not work. I just forwarded to you one email from Amazon on March 2nd saying that the order was canceled. You know, and then it says, before placing your next order, you can double-check your card details or add a new payment method. Well, I never did put my card detail. I had to remove that, and I only put the Bank of America issue. You can forward this to the whole group, by the way, up all, if you don't mind. And so these
so
are
you
the
want me to send
that,
this to the know. To the committee's mailing list? Just forward it?
Yes.
All right. You know that you're on the mailing list, and you can do that yourself, right, Bertold?
I know.
I'll forward it, but really, easier if you did it. Okay. Anyway. Yeah, who's this?
Paul.
Jim, go ahead.
Jim, I want to ask one more question. So where are we at with the people who own the pledge system? Because it was my understanding they were suing us in Utah for back payment. And I'm just wondering where we're at with the collection system. Have we worked out an agreement with them or what?
What collection system? You're talking about ACD, the call center?
Yeah, the call center. I understand their parent company in Utah students. So I'm just curious. And that's an open document.
We owe them money. They charge us per minute. And anybody from BI who calls and says, where's my premium? We're being charged for those calls instead of calling 212-209-2870. So that adds up to this. I wanted to port the number back to BAI and then have an organized group of people coming in to answer the phone there. And then if there's nobody answering the phone, it can jump back to the call center. But because we owe them money, you know, corporate counsel and the ED, you know, like when we owe them $35,000, I told them let's try to negotiate and sign a contract with them. And they didn't do that. And then now we owe them like $79,000, you know. You know, of course, it's cheaper. Like when we had the money, the number goes straight to them. We didn't pay a couple of cents more per call. That's why Grayson felt that it was better to have the number ported to them, and it was easier. But I think us answering as many calls as possible to reduce the $6,000 a month plus or minus that they charge us to probably $2,000-$3,000 would be better than the probably extra couple of hundred who would have to pay for the call coming to BAI and being transferred directly to the call center when nobody answers at the end.
Okay. All right. Does that answer your question, Jim? Are you on mute, Jim?
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Next person on the stack is Matt Mazza.
Hi, can you hear me?
Okay, we hear you now. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think, Paul, you covered pretty much what I was going to say. The national office, what does the national office say when we tell them about these problems? But my question is, why did they switch in the first place to this Bank of America when we were doing fine with Chase? I could walk over to the bank, deposit the checks, and that's one less thing that Berthold has to do. You know, it takes time with whatever he's got. That's one more thing that's added on his plate. That's one thing. Also, in switching, what problem were they trying to solve by doing this? And the other thing is that is there a person with a name when you say the national office instigated this? And is Stephanie Wells, the executive director, does she have any input on this? Denise tried to contact me. Stephanie was a guest from the CAB meeting, but we didn't hook up. And I would have said something.
Matt, would you hold on a second? Somebody is like chopping stuff and moving stuff around and talking. Would you please mute your phone or put it somewhere where it's not going to catch the chopping and moving of plates or whatever? And I'm hearing time. All right. Anyway, okay.
Can I extend 5 minutes till the end of the stack? This is Jack.
One second. Let me go back here. We're really...
How many people on the stack?
Oh, you're right. It is time. Okay, let me see here.
Just to finish.
I would say, why don't we, at the moment, let Matt finish. Let's look and see what we have on the stack. What we have in the stack is we have Mario after Matt. That's all we have for the stack so far. So how about this? At this very moment, I will make a motion. I'm stretching the phone too far. I'll make a motion to extend 10 minutes. Make it 10 minutes. That way Berthold can answer, and if we don't need all that time, we don't have to use it all. So I move to extend the time for this item by 10 minutes. Is there any objection to that? Hearing none. The time is extended by 10 minutes. Mr. Timekeeper, I have 20:46 at this time. Matt, finish.
Okay, very good. So what problem were they trying to solve by doing this? And I would have just said, plain, simply, it's very unfair. Whoever instigated this, because we cannot function. I mean, it's almost like the Army. You have to fill out requests for ammunition in triplicate. One copy goes to the enemy for okay. The person with a name at the national office, and is Stephanie Wells, the executive director, have any influence over this? Maybe contacting her would bring about some sort of result. Well, that's about it. Thank you.
Okay.
AR Paul Martin here. Can you stick me on the end of the stack?
Well, okay, we have 10 minutes, so we'll stick you on and see if we get to that.
Thanks.
Okay. Berthold, are you saying anything more for Matt? Do you have an answer for that, or do we go on to Mario next?
There's nothing I can say. Did everybody see the email from Alan?
Okay. All right. We're not going to chime in on that. I sent it. Next is Mario Mastrandrea. Go ahead.
Okay. Couple things. One question to you, Mr. Chair.
The report you mentioned a few minutes ago, is that going out email to everybody? Is that what you were referring to?
It's going to the mailing list.
All right. Yeah, I don't seem to be getting, but I will check with you on that.
Yeah. I think the problem there is the three or four times I've invited you to get on the mailing list, you never got on the mailing list.
All right, we'll connect. Okay, thank you. Pacifica, to me, sounds like they're consolidating their bookkeeping. At least that's what it looks like. Looks like they're trying to consolidate and do less bookkeeping as far as spending up for accountants and whatnot. That's what it sounds like to me. I could be a little off there. It's good to hear about the consultants, that there's finally some kind of structure. I outed this thing at the finance meetings, 2 years ago, about that where's the invoices. So I'm glad to see that there's a structure for the invoices, and I hope everyone is generating an invoice, because that could get you in trouble. And you have to be careful with the consultants, especially if you email them or have a conversation with them, that could be considered an agreement. So you have to keep it very straightforward with consultants, and they got to send you an invoice or send it to Pacifica. And that takes care of the IRS and the bookkeeping and all that. So they need to have what service are they providing on there. If it's a 1099, they need to have their personal information on there. If they have a company, then the EIN number has to be on that receipt, that bill that they're sending. Okay. What I'm suggesting is that BAI push all their constant monthly amount bills, push it to Pacifica to go on some kind of automatic pay. And if there's payments being made towards a balance, let them pay for it. If I'm talking about the constant, like the rent, the antenna rent, things that don't pretty much fluctuate unless they're raised, the rent is raised and things like that. So I would suggest pushing that to them, and Berto has to do less work about that, just kind of keep an eye on it, and those bills get paid by them automatic, or it comes out of the bank or something like that. And if it's payments, then it's payments. Then there's a credit card that's used for the lesser fluctuating amounts, petty cash, the DVDs, that fluctuates how many you buy, the Amazon bill, things like this, should all go under a credit card, and then they just send you a bill. Of course, you're paying interest, but they send you a bill of an amount, like $2,000 or $3,000 would be $100 a month or $150 a month and so on. And so that pays, and it's all under an umbrella of a credit card. So that's that. Now, as far as premiums go or donations, I'm formulating this as I'm listening, so it's coming off the cuff. There could be a system that's put in place that is you ask our listeners to mail in checks. They could mail in a check, and you would hold the check, and if they would contact you, they put what premium they want, they got to mail you the check, $100, $150, $200. They could also post-mail it, and you would hold it in a file. It's just an idea, and then if they want a certain premium that's coming up, you take the check out, you send it, you cash it, whatever. So mailing checks, that would reduce the work of the phone center and start breaking away from that. Go now to checks, have people mailing checks. Now you have the airwaves, you have things in petty cash, DVDs, this, that, the other thing. I think at this point we cannot be bashful. You put on a cart, you make a cart, and it's a wish list. It's a donation list. We need this type of DVD by Sony. This is what, so on and so on. And can you donate this to our station? Send the receipt with the item when you ship it to us. And BAI will send them a tax credit receipt as a donation.
If they purchase something that you need that's more than $25, that also includes a membership for them. They become a member of the station, and that BAI promises to send them a tax credit receipt that they could use for their taxes if they wish. And so you would put a list of items that you need, and you post it on your webpage as well. And you would do a cart that's played. We need this. We need that. This is what we need. You can order it from Amazon. Here's item number, this one. If you go, we need this many Sony discs. And you'd be surprised, because some people might now, who you're going to attract with that, are people who are now saying, I don't want to send them any money. I don't know what I'm sending it to. Oh, wait, they want DVDs? Okay, I'll buy the DVDs, and I'll get the tax write-off, and I'll ship them the DVDs. You know, just, you know, think about that, and that handles your petty cash. And, you know, what I'm piggybacking what Linda requested, what, on what to the listener maybe over a month ago. She said, hey, we need cleaning supplies. So I said, you know, okay, what are you going to do? This is where we're at. But it's not a bad idea. It's basically showing that you are frugal and inventive. And one last thing, my last word, you're increasing participation by the members and the listener. You are increasing participation. This is important. Phone calls increases participation. This, please. All right.
That was like 7 minutes, you know, of a lot of things that to me do not make any sense.
See, I talk loud, and when I talk loud, wait one second. When I talk loud, it sounds like I've talked for 10 minutes, but it's not.
No, you are talking a lot, and then you're.
It's 9 minutes. I have a clock going. Bertold, you don't have to answer it all, but go ahead.
Well, first of all, a lot of this doesn't make any sense. Second, you know, I don't understand. I don't think you understand how. What? How much time? Who's going to manage all those little things he's talking about? You know, it's like, you know, who's going to administer that? It's more work, a lot, 10 times more work. And third,
Bertold, time is being called. Bertold,
time is being called. Sentence.
Yeah, time is being called, so we need to stop for a moment. Please, Bertold. Bertold, are you going to talk over me? Time got called, so I'm going to move to Martin Flynn is the last person we have on the stack right now. I'm going to move to do another 5 minutes. So I move to extend by 5 minutes. Okay.
Wonderful.
Is there any objection to extending for 5 minutes? Hearing none, we're extended for 5 minutes, and Mr. Timekeeper, I make it. Let's just click it. 2056. Okay. Bertold, finish up. You don't have to address all of that. Let's just get on.
Yeah. 30 seconds. The thing about the consultant, he's glad the consultants are being, normalized. I mean, what are you talking about? The consultant always produces invoices. You know, it's very difficult because sometimes they send emails, but consultants have always produced invoices for the past 10 years. There are invoices in the system, you know, and then I had to create invoices because some people don't know how to make invoices. I had to make invoices for them and have them fill it out. So that is totally out of line. That's still, again, not understanding anything that's going on. The consultants have always been normalized and then process
properly.
I'm done.
Okay, Martin,
do you agree with me? It's out of
Mario?
Line that I agree. Okay.
Mario, okay, we're moving to the end here of this item. So,
okay.
Martin Flynn has the floor. Go ahead.
To be real quick, okay, what we're talking about is an Amazon wish list for nonprofit organizations. You post it,
there you go.
Click on it, they ship it to you. Full stop. All right. Next question. Understanding that 212-209 is stuck with ACD Direct until the billing issue is resolved. to reduce the number of calls going to ACD Direct and running up the bill with the where's my premium calls. Can we source a new number that rings at 388 Atlantic, and if no one picks up, then it goes to ACD Direct? Put it on the website, and that way we're reducing the useless calls to the call center. Now, I'm not talking about going back and purging it from the archives. Just put the new number on the website to reduce the number of calls, and when we get 212-209-2950 back, forward the new number to it. Full stop. We've just reduced a large percentage of the stupid calls and 97 cents a minute.
That is a, so, Martin, that's a good proposal and practical, but it's also very impractical because all the things that we are playing on the air to tell people to pledge.
Berthold, I'm not talking about that. Berthold, hear me out. You've said this previously. I'm not talking about purging 212-209 from all the archive and back materials. I'm talking about going forward from tomorrow, put a new number on the website, because when people go, wait, I haven't got my premium, they don't have that number written down somewhere. They're going to the website, picking it up and dialing it. So,
okay, so
you,
I think that you are confusing a few things. 212-209-2870 is a customer service number that rings at WBI. And if they don't find someone, a little message. And Denise Joyce, who was talking here, and Maxine Harrison Diamond come on Friday and clean up the messages and call and go way out of their way and harass me when they have to, when I'm not paying enough attention to get those members taken care of. What you're talking about is going forward, we give another number, so when people want to donate, they call that number and it rings at BAI. We don't have any new pitch. Everything we're playing on the air is old. There's nobody's coming up with new stuff. So everything that you hear on the air is old, and then it's calling 212. Linda would have to go and edit every single show and change 212 to whatever that new number is. So that is, we already did that before when we had the 516. We had to edit a whole lot of these shows for like 3 or 4 years, 5 years, and change them into 212, which is a nightmare. We're still doing it. It's not practical. We could borrow money to pay the call center off and then pay the money we borrowed slowly and have the number mapped to WBI 212-209-2950. That would be the best way to do it.
Okay. All right. The next item on the agenda is set next meeting date. And, okay, let's look at the calendar here. And there's the calendar. Okay, this is March 20th. Doing it the usual way we do this, we could go to April 17th, which is a month from now, 4 weeks from now. So what I'll do is I'll make the motion. We can talk about it. I move that we meet on April, and let me look and see what I just said again. April 17th. Okay. So I move we move on, meet next on April 17th. So any discussion on that?
Paul, when is the LSB meeting?
The week before it.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Is there any discussion on the motion to meet next on April 17th at 7 p.m. Here? Okay. Any further discussion? Is there any objection to the motion that we meet next on April 17th at 7 p.m. Eastern?
Is this the last item, Paul, on the of the meeting?
No.
Okay.
Hearing no objection, motion is passed. Okay, we're meeting next on the 17th. And the next thing we have on here is new business. Okay, so if somebody has some new business, now is the time to bring it up.
Well,
do we have a stack? Does anybody want to get the floor?
Mario.
All right, Mario. Anybody else? All right, let's go with Mario. Mario, go ahead.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I missed the November meeting. Then I came and called into the December meeting, but there was no quorum, and you had already jumped offline. I called Neil Voss, our chair of the CAB, said, what happened? He says, there was no quorum, so he called the meeting. Then I missed the January meeting, but then I've been February and now this one. So I'm thinking I didn't miss two in a row. I showed up in December. So the meeting was called because of no quorum.
You missed the November 29th and January 17th meetings.
Yeah. But I called in and there was no quorum in December between those.
Which doesn't mean that you didn't miss two meetings in a row.
Okay. Well, I would have been at that meeting. There would have been a meeting, right? It was called because of no quorum.
You missed two meetings in a row, Mario.
Okay. All right. I was just thinking it's not a big deal. I'm just trying to keep it what I think makes sense, but it's okay. That's it. And I just want to clarify, which I think is new business. It's a suggestion. I think a cart should be made to request for items, and people put a receipt in there and you give them a tax write-off. Amazon is one way. Some people, we do have a lot of radicals on our station. They do not want to participate with Google if they can. They don't want to participate with Amazon and such. So asking people to mail the items in as well, it's not a bad idea. It's, you know, can't hurt. And again, we're asking the public to participate. I can't stress how much this means. At the Community Advisory Board meeting, we had a woman who forgot her name. She said, if I can't call in to a lot of shows and participate, why should I give you money? That's what she said, basically. I'm paraphrasing. And I happen to agree. And I'm old enough here to know that at least 50% of our shows a long time ago took calls morning, noon, night, and overnight. And we can't, you keep going until it ain't over till it's over. So you might say, what's that going to do? What's that going to give me, another $100 a month? I don't know. But you have to act like this is going to bring in thousands. You have to have that frame of mind. And what are we all doing here anyway? We're here, we gather, and we're kind of basically rooting for ourselves. We're rooting for each other. We're rooting for the listener to call in and do what they want to do, and they feel happy. We're rooting for producers to do a good job. So let's consider getting the public involved in a way that is very low amount of money to have that happen. Asking them to donate the items, not a big deal. You know, you want to do it once a month. You don't have to do it a cart that plays every day. You could do once a week, once a month. It plays every day, once a week, once a month. You know, every day for a week, for once a month. Asking for items that the station may need. That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Is there anybody else who has any new business?
Denise, understand?
Mrs. K. Williams, I have one short.
All right, hold on. We have Denise Joyce. We have K. Williams. Why don't we go with those two right now? Denise Joyce, go ahead.
Okay, pertaining to the budget and what have you, it seems that Pacifica is not as patient with us as they could be. Ms. Wells did explain how we are going to ultimately collect the CPB money, but she really neglected to mention, I should have done that as well, that it's, that we didn't receive for 14 years. So Pacifica wasn't exactly on top of things either. And because of that, we need to be considerate of each other and patient with each other. I would really appreciate if WBA Financial Group would mention that when they attend the next Pacifica meeting in a very cordial way. If they feel uncomfortable about it, I see the LSB is a little comfortable about speaking to Pacifica. The people that are most, that are least appreciated, which is the listener, I feel very free in doing so. So perhaps we need to treasure the listener a lot more. Pertaining to what Mario said, I think 10% of the programming should be devoted to listeners with a one-minute comment period. It would allow to open up the dialogue, let the producer know if the program is suitable for their audience and if they appreciate it. And then just finally, pertaining to what Eleanor Foreman is always mentioning about the absenteeism, in the financial group and even in the community advisory board group, we take attendance and we note that. The listeners have elected local station board representatives to take care of the business of making sure that WBA prospers. If the LSB representative is not there to take care of the business, then they're not doing their job. They're not doing due diligence on behalf of the listener. Since I'm one of the people who take responsibility of the community advisory board, I think that I should mention that. So those are the three things that I wanted to say. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next, M.K. Williams, go ahead.
Hi, this will probably be best taken care of if I just give Bertolt a call. But when he lists the monthly vendors, he leaves out our Zoom account, which is how we get recorded meetings every month. And currently, his credit card went kaput, and so my credit card is the one paying for that bill, which I don't mind adding to my monthly donation to VAI, but I get invoices, and I need to know where to send them. So if someone could send me Markeisha's email, so I could send her my invoices, because I just think it should be recorded somewhere. That's all.
Okay, so let me get this right here. So what is it you're paying for?
I pay the Zoom account bill, which
the
is
Zoom
how
account.
We get which is how we get Zoom meetings scheduled and how we
right.
get them recorded for whoever wants to make Zoom meetings.
Okay, so you pay the Zoom bill, and you want to be able to send an invoice into the national office.
Yes, I think that
okay.
would be appropriate.
Okay, I will send you the email of the national business manager, and you can send her your invoice.
Okay. I don't mind paying it. I just think it should be officially recorded as one of our important vendors. Maybe not super important, but semi-important.
So what you want is to be listed as a vendor or a
no,
donor?
No, I want Zoom to be listed as a vendor. And I don't mind continuing to pay the bill, but I just want it to be recorded that that's one of our regular vendors.
Bertolt, I think that's for you, isn't it? Well, I assume you heard it. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway,
anybody,
if you just send me her email, I'll send her my invoices and a letter and an email explaining what she's receiving and that she just needs to keep track.
Okay. If you're going to send something, send it to her. But if you send it just to me, I'm not paying the invoices or anything. So
no,
all right.
I'm not sending it to you. I wanted that's
good.
What I think it should be for.
Okay. I will send you her email
okay.
address. Anything
okay.
further? Anything further? Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Anything further? Who's this?
Yes, sir. This is
Jim Dingman. Go ahead.
All right. Am I coming in loud and clear? Can you hear me?
Pretty much. You're 3x3.
All right. All right, 3x3. I just wanted to remind people that this Sunday at 11 o'clock, there will be on the air, Bertolt can correct me if I'm wrong, there is a Zoom link put onto the meeting for this Sunday at 11 o'clock, which is a WBAI town hall meeting to deal with the fiscal problems. And I believe Bertolt can correct me if I'm wrong. He's going to broadcast this on the air also at the same time. And I hope that that event will certainly be able to reach out to more people, perhaps, than other venues can reach to. And we have a lively amount of people talking about the seriousness of the situation facing the station and the network in general. But that is this Sunday, the 24th, at 11 a.m. Zoom is link is posted on KPTFX. And Bertolt can correct me, but as I understand, this is going to be broadcast on the air, too. Thank you.
I've seen various postings about this, so I think it is going on the air, at least from what I've been sent as a staff person. Bertolt, do you want to say something on that, if you're here? Either he's on mute or he ain't here. Okay. Does anybody else have anything else for new business?
Well, Paul, it's Mary again. I ask you a question about excused absences.
Go ahead.
So if we cannot make a meeting and we want an excused absence, we have to email you. Am I correct?
Yeah. That's why it's good if people would get on the mailing list, then they can write to the mailing list. But people write to me, and I have to forward it in and, you know, make sure that I don't miss one, because then the world will fall apart. So, yeah. And if you would like to, yeah. I can send you an invitation again within the next half hour to join the mailing list, and maybe you'll accept it this time, okay?
Yes, I will. Do you have my email?
I think you've sent me a number. Why don't you email me right now and say, here's my email address, and I'll use that.
Okay, it's made it. You have that?
What did you say?
Made it. That's part of it. You have that one?
All right. I probably do, but if you write to me right now, it'll be easier. I won't have to hunt it down. I'll just take whatever
I'll send right now. And you can tell me if you got it in our meeting, because it's very, very important
To
this meeting. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. All right. Is there any other new business? If there is no other new business, I will move to adjourn. Is there any objection to adjourning this meeting at this time? Hearing none. Meeting is adjourned. Okay.
Thank you all, Paul.
Thank you all. Thank you, Otis, for streaming this thing and being there for us. Thanks, everyone, for participating and doing stuff. And I guess we'll see you in a month. Bye-bye.